record, Win.
Record. This is Win. Hang on a second.
Please enter your PIN followed by pound. Please wait. This conference is being recorded.
Now everyone that's checking in on DBS heard us start the recording. This is Win Free. This is Monday, December 27th, and we are doing a simulcast on our conference line and DBS radio, and somebody just checked in. Would you like to say your name and your city?
Yeah, Win. This is Suzanne in Ohio.
Hi, Suzanne. Nice to have you. We're live on the air tonight. And hi, I'm just, while we're live, I'll just might as well interrupt myself and say hello to a couple of people. Would you like to say your name and your city?
Melissa from Carlisle, Pennsylvania.
Melissa, is this your first time on the line?
No, I've been on maybe two or three calls before.
Carlisle. Where is Carlisle?
It's south central, between about a half hour away from the capital, Harrisburg.
I see. I don't know if you know it, but I'm from Philadelphia.
Oh, okay. Well, that's just 2 hours away.
Right. I used to drive through Harrisburg pretty often. So nice to have you.
Thank you.
Now, do you have that Philadelphia accent or the Pennsylvania accent?
Well, some of my sayings come from the Pennsylvania Dutch, like red up the house, and I can't think of some right off the top of my head, but yeah, there's Pennsylvania Dutch in our area.
How would you say G-A-S?
Gas.
Gas?
Gas. Gasoline for your car.
I see people in Philadelphia say gas. You don't say gas,
no,
do you?
No.
How do you say W-A-T-E-R?
Water.
Water.
Not water.
Not water. Water. Right. Well, thank you. I want you to know you're on the air tonight, so thank you. Thank you for sharing that.
Sure.
Okay. Anyone else like to say their name in the city?
Top of the evening. This is Connie down here in Missouri.
Hi, Connie.
Hi, Connie.
How's the weather in Missouri?
It's pretty pleasant today, especially compared to Minnesota.
Okay. Hey, for those of you that are reading our Monday night transcripts, Connie is a major force in doing them, and Terry's a major secondary force in editing them. So thank you both.
Absolutely. Thank you, Connie.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. You are so welcome. It's my pleasure.
Anyone else on the line?
Karen in Los Angeles.
Karen, is this your first time?
Uh-huh.
You sound like you're right next to me.
It's probably because I am.
Well, I used to live in Los Angeles not very long ago. But what part of L.A. are you in?
West L.A., well, no, no, Hollywood area. I don't know, it's kind of in the middle of town.
You're not an actress, are you?
No.
You're not a producer, are you?
No, I do PR and marketing and merchant services.
Because remember, if somebody in Hollywood comes forth, I have this movie project that could actually turn into, that I've been working on with Barry Morrow, who wrote The Rain Man. So,
oh, wow.
One of those people that have connections. Be sure and email me, and I'll get back with you, okay?
Yeah, I'll do that.
Right. And this is a movie that could change the planet, okay? So.
Oh, I'm definitely interested, so I will email you.
All right. Anyone else want to say hello?
Zoe, Sacramento.
Hi, Zoe. And anyone else? Anyone else going once? See, we're on live now, so people are more shy. All of you that are shy, would you just say the word shy, and we won't know who you are?
Nice try.
Nice try. Would you all say the word nice try? I heard a sigh in there. Thank you. Well, whether you talk or not, we know you're there. And not only do we know you're there, as long as you're not embarrassed to be seen, they know you're there. And that's a really strange concept to be doing on a radio show, to say they know you're there. And, you know, over the period of time we've done this, we've probably the most striking thing that ever happened on this Monday, I think it was a Monday night, I can't remember, was Terry was channeling. Now, you know, when Terry channels, there's part her and part them. It's like a blend of energies. It's not like she goes into a trance. That's why the old show always recommends Dr. Marshall, because she loves Dr. Marshall. And if she loves it, the love makes it all part of everything. So there's no difference. And maybe way back when, she was an Elohim that came into this realm, so it gets all mixed up. But one Monday, suddenly Terry, or they, said hello to this strange name. And afterwards, Terry said, I couldn't understand what they wanted me to say, but I said it anyway. I asked them 3 times, are you sure you want me to say that? And then we get an email the next day from a lady in Turkey that says, they said hello to me. So there's little things like that that just kind of creep in if you keep listening to these calls. That, how did that happen? Where did that come from? And some of them are really amazing, and some of them are just funny. But, you know, we have voices that talk to us that say they're the Elohim group and the Ra group. And one of the worst mistakes someone could make is to believe that that's true because I say it. Because, let me mute everybody.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Because I didn't believe it was true even when they kept saying that was who they were. I went for 3 years saying, nah, it can't be, or they must be making a mistake. There's got to be somebody better than me that can do this job.
Entry and exit chimes are off.
But nonetheless, I tested them. I asked questions, and they kept passing all the tests. And then there are little miracles. And so when you come on this call, I don't want you to believe they are who they say they are. I want you to keep doing your own tests on it. Test me, test them, test Terry, and test your own heart and see how it feels. And mostly, start seeing if you can feel the energy on the line. That is an amazing thing. And if that intrigues you, please come to our Sunday call. I call it a grid healing, a personal and planetary healing session, because our Sunday call focuses on feeling the energy, focuses on creating a group energy, and many people can feel it. And it actually feels really good. It kind of feels like an energy of home. It doesn't feel invasive. It feels connected. And by actually making this energetic connection, you move your own energy beyond the veil. Have you ever heard of the veil? The veil of forgetfulness, the veil that keeps us feeling like we're separate, the veil that keeps us from connecting with Source, the veil that keeps people imprisoned in 3D. There's something called a veil that a lot of metaphysical people have talked about, which is the energy of contraction. And your mind can know there's a veil, and your mind can know there's something beyond it, but that doesn't mean you move beyond it, because for most of us, we've lived all our lives in a box. Some bigger box, some a smaller box, but nonetheless a box. And whatever we do, we're kind of just keeping walking around the circumference of our own box. And somebody can tell you, well, there's a world outside the box, but you can't see it because you're contained. So on some level, the way you get out of the box, the easiest way, is to go into a circumstance or a situation that holds an energy that's bigger than your box. And if you keep doing that, eventually your box will get bigger. And if it gets big enough, it gets beyond the veil. Now, in observing this phenomena, this is not something that knocks you over the head. It's rather subtle. Because when you get out of your box, or you get bigger than your box, there's a couple of things. One of them is that your physical equipment, your eyes, your ears, your senses are not designed to see outside of the physical box. So you have to engage other senses or intuitions or vibrations. It's hard to explain. When you experience it on the line, you go, ah, that's it. It would be like when you're on a mountaintop and you look down and you see all of the cities and terrain from a very high vantage point. And suddenly there's a moment where your breath gets taken away. And it's hard to describe that moment, but some of you know exactly what I mean. It's like you're looking down from a mountaintop. And the truth is, in many cases, when you're on a mountaintop, your energy field expands to contain the area you can see. So you actually have gotten expanded in that moment on the top of the mountain. And maybe you get expanded, have the experience of expansion in the moment of an orgasm, for example. And you can't describe it, but you're so expanded. And which happens to be the topic for our discussion tonight. So, on this call, there's an expansion that occurs that is somewhat akin to being up on a mountaintop and feeling that, what's the word? Expansiveness when you're looking at miles into the distance. And maybe you felt it at the ocean, when you're looking at the ocean and see how the ocean goes on and on. There's a moment of expansion. And maybe you've seen it in a movie, in a movie that just takes you through a beautiful journey. And certain kinds of movies leave you in this really expanded state. And you watched that movie and you became one with the theater and everyone in the theater. And as they were leaving the movie, they were looking at each other, you were looking at them, and you were all in the same place because you expanded, and the movie became a catalyst to expand you into the same place. And they were all strangers, and yet you did that. And many of you are strangers on this line, and yet on this line, we expand into a place where we experience a oneness of our energies. And that's my way of describing it. Maybe I'm wrong, maybe it's something else, but that's the way I describe it, that's the way they describe it. And when we experience this oneness of energies, we not only experience the energy, but if we believe everything our sources say, and our sources are these group, they defy, explain themselves to be group souls, and a commingling of two group souls, they are kind of, if you're on a mountain, they're on a mountain above you. And they are able to project energy from where they are into this realm. And there's millions and billions of them, and they work as a team. Or they work as separate councils, depending on what's required. And so when we're on these calls, we are through a whole series of trial and error circumstances, because I happen to be inquisitive, curious, and I want to know, how does this work? And I do things as experiments to say, well, if they're there and we're here, what happens if I ask them to beam in? And people started feeling it, particularly in my live lectures. So then we talk to them while they're beaming in. And so you're talking to the consciousness that's out there, and you feel the energy that's coming in, and they say it's them. So there's an area there where I can't prove that. But this is, if I'm correct, it's worth coming back a while and checking it out for yourself and seeing if it holds true for you. Because there's a lot of really good advantages on a personal and planetary level for making connection with these energies. One advantage is that when you start connecting with these higher realms, you can have healings occur because they operate in the matrix from where they are to where you are. And in the highest sense of the word, they are you. They are me. I am you. We are all together, as John Lennon said. So when we can invoke a oneness that not just includes each other, but these group souls, then we are connecting the dots up, the energy dots of a huge universe that normally we're disconnected from. And in the connection of those dots between them and you, there's a lot of what you could call distortions in your auric field, distortions in your matrix, distortions in your past track. And all of those things can be remedied, but it takes a co-creation of you and the higher part of you working together to heal what's in between. And so that's one benefit. Another benefit is that on our Sunday calls, we create a group energy and with us and them, and then we project energy into the physical planet, onto the planet. It's like we have the ability to do that. And this is like accessing your divine part, your divine self, accessing the ability to expand above this realm and then project love, light, and aim it into this realm for the highest good of all concerned and operate honoring free will. And we do that every Sunday. And it's an amazing experience to feel the energies while we're doing that. So on that note, I'm going to shut up because we're going to bring it 7:20. I didn't talk too long. And my co-host is here. Terry, are you there?
Yes.
You don't know what we're talking about, do you?
I went online and I saw the topic.
is that because I didn't tell you and you wanted to find out?
No, because I happened to be online and noticed it.
I see. Well, you know, a few months ago, we started a topic, and I think the topic, you know, I make up a topic that I think people will find interesting and that I'll find interesting. And oftentimes it's things that I don't know the answers to. And here we are, and we bring their energies in, and we talk to them live and ask them questions and say, well, what are they going to say? And a couple of months ago, we had the topic of how sex got started. And when we started having the conversation, they went into amoebas. And that how amoebas were like one of the first life form creations, and how they would watch the amoebas share energy and eventually share body fluids. And, you know, I listened to it recently, and it was just really funny. And then I read the transcript of it to a friend of mine, and she bowled over laughing. I think one of the things was the innocence. You know, from the Elohim's point of view, now, if we have it right, the Elohim were energy forms that were here before there was a physical universe, and that they created the physical universe. And we've asked them how they did it, and they explained it. But they didn't really think of themselves as God at that point. They were just a bunch of energy forms having fun and having joy and learning. If they zapped energy this way and that way, something would stick and persist. And over what we would consider millions of years and even longer, but to them there's no time, so they didn't have that experience. They created a physical realm, and their idea was not to control this realm, but to create free will and let it evolve of its own accord. And I think they were watching it and enjoying the watching the fruits of their creation. It would be like if you had children, you would watch your children, and if they became successful, you would say, oh, they're my children, and look what I've created. Something akin to that kind of feeling. Except the realm got screwed up. And it got screwed up because of the way, this is an oversimplification, they can correct me, but it got screwed up because of the way there were possessions in this realm, and there was power and enslavement. And that it got really out of hand, where really dark negative forces were attempting to control everything, and that the Elohim, and not only I'm fixing the Elohim, and I have to credit to the Ra group, those two group souls are both able to do interventions in this realm. But because they honor free will, and because their goal is not to just make our lives better, but I would say their goal is, they might change it, but I would say their goal is for us to evolve, for us to evolve into divine realization, for us to evolve into the experience of knowingness of the law of one, for us to evolve so that our little boxes can expand to include much greater view, perspective of things. And it all honors free will. So they have to be asked for help. So one of the things we're doing is creating a kind of a telephone line to them, from us to them, and Terry can speak for them, or they can speak through Terry, and we have a telephone line where we can say, what do you think of this, and can we send some light here? And they seem to be doing it. So, in any case, we're going to continue our conversation, if I can remember where it led off. And if you want to hear the original audio and transcript, be sure and subscribe to the Spirit Channel, because I'm going to resend it out. www.spiritchannel.messageaday.net. And if you feel the energies on the line, if you listen regularly, try it for at least a couple of months. Listen diligently for a couple of months. You might find yourself going through a huge expansion and a huge new view of life, but not in your mind, in your being. It's not a new philosophy. It's not a new idea. It's not a new belief pattern. It's actually an experience that pervades on a cellular level, you, and starting to experience the people around you in a new way. Instead of seeing them as separate, you see them as part of yourself. And but you can't do that with your mind. It has to be from your being. Now, are you there, Terry? Hello, Terry.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm muted.
So, okay, you're muted. Okay.
I'm not anymore.
All right, I can tell. I can hear you. So what? I'm not dense. I know a voice when I hear it. we're gonna do a calling of the light, and this is just a fast invocation for oneness. And many of us have been on this line enough, so they already feel the energies before I do this. You might be feeling the energies yourself and say, is that it? Take a moment and look at the space in between if I don't say anything. Now, in normal entertainment, if somebody made a space like that, it would be like, uh-oh, got to jump in. Uh-oh, we got to say something. If you notice, that space was not empty. It was filled. Other dimensional energies come in the spaces. And that's like a key to your life. See where you can develop space like that and feel the presence of space, of that energy in nothingness. And you know you're making progress in connection with the higher realms. So we're going to call in the light, and I'm going to continue my conversation on how sex got started in the physical realm. And I have no idea what's going to come up. Father, Mother, God.
I don't either.
Hopefully you won't embarrass us both, but we'll see. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here. And any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and be transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through all the galaxies, through the planetary fields, the solar system, through the energy fields of the Earth, through our bodies, through the top of our head, through our bodies, through our feet, and into the center of the earth. And right now, we invoke a blending of all our energies. And we are maintaining the sovereign integrity of our individual souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, operating and honoring the law of one, to join with us, and we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And we give a space for an introduction.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. This is Ra On, and this is December 27, 2010. We are orienting ourselves at this time to the coordinates of the sphere planet Earth, and we are available to you, and now we are making ourselves available for contact with each and every person on the line, each and every person who will listen in the future or read any transcripts. And now we have become oriented in this fixed configuration, and we ask if you have any questions.
Thank you for being here and working with us. And, you know, we had I assume you're listening to my preamble, and we were talking about our conversation about how life got started. And we know, or we understand, the Elohim were part of the creation of life in this realm. And first, they created physical objects and planets and however that was. And then there was the creation of the first life form, which they said, you said in that other conversation, was the amoeba. And that you observed how the amoebas could get near each other and feel each other's energies. And then there was the exchange of bodily fluids. And the exchange of bodily fluids was the beginning of what we call sex today amongst humans, which usually starts as an exchange of energies, which people experience as love, and then becomes an exchange of body fluids, which is love expressed through physical expression. So first of all, am I recalling all of our past conversation in a way that's fairly accurate?
Thank you. We are looking at the past history, which is also the present history, as life comes about even from silicon and sand, and life in its primal state was even simpler than the amoeba, as the condensation of manifestation brought about as the result of motion and intersecting motions. And
into what motion? I'm sorry, could you repeat that word?
This is Terry, I don't remember.
All right, let's go on. Sorry, I interrupted. Okay.
Intersecting motions were set into place in the intersection of motions. There was a disturbance created that entered time into the situation or the equation, as it made a little delay in the in the situation which caused a manifestation. This was the beginning of life, as if the intelligence of all that is was put on a delay, which created a looking back or an ability to look back, created a track and entered time and entered a delay, and therefore manifestation began and life began.
You know, I would imagine that even before there was a physical realm, for the Elohim to exist as separate energy units that they could recognize, there had to be the element of time just within that, because the beginnings of time, because you would have to remember how someone was and how someone is and who they become, so that there's a track even in the first separation of all, from all that is.
The Elohim has the ability to appear and to manifest in a time delay within their manifestation in the more manifestations or intersections of motion that there are, then there is more to reflect and resonate with the manifestation of the Elohim or any entity. So the Elohim have the unique ability, which may be an ability that all would wish to strive for the ultimate in survival in a difficult universe, is to be able to move in and out of it with grace and with control over one's ability to appear and to disappear, to instigate time delays at will or not, and can unlock, so to say, or to disappear their manifestation, retaining within it the spark of joy and love, to spark new travels within the densities.
Now, the Elohim, you've said this a couple of times, that the Elohim can actually go back into nothingness and come out of it again.
That's correct. Correct. Retaining, not complete nothingness perhaps, but retaining the potential of the spark of joy and love that they can then build upon to recreate themselves.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like, I don't know if this is a good analogy, but like a bear that goes into hibernation and then comes out again. Is that unfair? It's too worldly an analogy, correct?
It is. It's too complex an analogy. Yeah. Like an intersection of two motions, which can spark a manifestation or a little existence or a particle, and then can move back into a dissolving wave.
Mm-hmm. Now, question. We talked about amoebas, and I'm going to let everyone hear that original conversation we had. Obviously, somehow, an amoeba, and if I have this right, the amoeba was, or something like an amoeba, was the first thing that could exchange energy. And this was a direct creation of the Elohim. Now, how did the amoeba go from being an amoeba to some kind of animal where there was male and female? Okay? When did male and female?
We would like to start with the manifestation of the existence of an energy form, a spirit such as an Elohim, that can move in and out of the manifest universe as being the first life form, and then as energies became more complicated, more intersecting and rotating galaxies began, the individuals that develop out of the rotations and the intersection of different rotations and eddies within the boiling mass of energies were DNA, which was pre-life, and the structure upon which life is hung, and then began as tinier life forms or pre-life forms, and moving then into amoeba, then moving into more complex structures, having received the notice of the Elohim, and the Elohim extending love and light to the amoebas, and observing the code within the life forms, and producing further, inserting further codes by intention and will into the developing life forms, and observing the result, and gradually building in more features and more complex life forms with delight that the resulting creatures could then begin to operate on their own, and like a computer program, begin to regenerate. And then the idea of making different sexes that could combine their codes and could then create a combination of the two male and female partners to have an offspring that could then maintain and stabilize the unique genetic aspects that were inserted into the developing structures, the developing racial characteristics or species characteristic of the entity structure that was resulting. This was then first rudimentary, but later than given intelligence. And these eventual humanoids were able to work to further develop the genetic sequences to further build a more intelligent and survivable form than the Elohim and other entities began to pop into these humanoids to experience what it was like, and their senses were limited, and they enjoyed the sexual contact much the same as they would enjoy sharing space. However, in the more dense realm of the third density, the impact was greater, and you had many more cells involved to heighten the senses, as it was a chorus of unique cells to do with the senses, and the development of the chakras and the lower chakras that could then increase the rotation speed and heighten the sensation and bring the condensation of energy and blood and fluids into the area that then would impinge upon the cells, and these cells would experience the joy and resonate with the joy and the pleasant sensation. And to some degree, some corruption was entered in, as some individuals combined their distortions, bringing them into the sexual area, but the pure sexual experience was the one that procreated the race the best and was the more survivable. And this was how sex began.
You know, I'm aware, I believe, through some of our previous conversations, that the creation of DNA and the engineering of DNA got taken over, not completely necessarily, I don't know the answer, but there were groups of very advanced beings on the Earth that were able to engineer DNA. And that humans were actually a product, as I understand it, not a direct creation of the Elohim, but a creation of subsets of beings in this realm who were masters at DNA engineering. And that is a whole other topic about how that got started, because we're out of time, or we're close to being out of time. But one thing that I had a cognition on while you were talking, tell me if I have this correct, that the creation of a being is far more complicated than the creation of a being, because a being reflects the universe. And that for a being to reflect the universe has to be created so the holographic links can be connected from the universe into the being's DNA. And as the universe had to reach a certain level of evolution to be able to create a being that would be big enough to be a complete human. Now, that was my cognition. Am I anywhere on the right track on that?
The first thing that you said did not make sense to us. And the second thing you said is correct. The being, and it is not only the being, but each cell, each life, the human being is a composite. It has the cells, and it has the DNA, and it has the organs. It all works together. Many little lives are all working with their little flame of life, are all working together, and when they resonate together, it is a beautiful experience. And when they all resonate together and can move in and out of flow, then they can reflect the universe, they can reflect the stars and be connected in a beautiful way to their surroundings and to the star systems, and can move with grace through their life.
Thank you. That is a good place to end this call. And you know what? We're going to put this topic on hold. We'll bring it up again. It'll be part three. Thank you very much for sharing the perspective of how it all works from your place. And we are honored to be here listening and feeling the energies and hearing this understanding. And maybe I should just let you say officially goodbye before we sign off.
Thank you. We connect with each and every one of you and send you a resonant hug and kiss, and for the ones that wish to receive this. And we are with you, and we bid you adieu. We leave, but we do not leave Adonai.
Thank you. And for those that are listening, Gina, Julie at Get Response, if anyone wants to show up, they're going to do an experimental program to try to get people to know each other and be a little support group. And we'll see you Wednesday. If you have questions, questions@messageaday.net. Thank you all who have volunteered. Thank you, Terry. Thank you, BBS. And we will sign off. Oh, wishing everybody a happy new year. And remember that you're a microcosm of the entire universe.